It's beginning at verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. This is the word of God.
Well, good morning, everyone. Everyone does know my name. I'm Alan. I'm the guy who's usually outside with the kids at this time. And at this time of year, of course, I'm the one who's coming around and talking to you about Kids Club because I want to exploit your abilities so that our Kids Club runs well. And in all seriousness, we do need people to help run activities and to help run craft particularly so that we've got a Kids Club this year. We need to make a decision in the next week whether or not we run. That aside, hello, it's good to see you. Jesus once told the story of a master who went away for a long time and entrusted all of his assets to his servants so they could look after them for him. And some of those servants did very well with the asset they'd been given and they were rewarded for doing that faithfully and well when the master got back. But one said, look, I took the sack of cash and I buried it because I knew you would be back to claim back your money. And I just felt like that was unfair, you taking my money off you. And so the master said, look, you just admitted it was my money. And so that servant was punished. Now, because the master was a very rich man, he did deal in big piles of money. Sums of money that had to be weighed out, like 26 kilos of silver at a time. Now, 26 kilograms of silver is pretty much an entire scale worth of silver. It's one balance, or in Greek, a talenton. Our word talent comes from that story. A talent is 26 kilos of silver. So when we say, oh, Graham is really talented in music, right down in the roots of that word, the origin story of that word carries with it the sense of an obligation to God, that we've been entrusted with something that we need to manage and that we need to enhance in value. That's where our word comes from. But of course, as we've used the word over the years, it's worn down and we don't really stop and think about it very much. Now, gift has the same kind of problem. Both words come from the Bible and both are rooted in our conception of what it means to be human and what it means to live in God's world. And yet we tend to just say, oh, those people are very gifted. And we don't stop and think, well, if they're gifted, who is the giver? So my first question this morning is, who gives? Who's doing the giving? So who's the giver in verses 4 to 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12? We're on page 1728 if you've closed your Bible. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. So three things are different and three are the same. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God, different gifts, different service, different working. Now you might read that and you might go, okay, so all of us do different service for the Lord, all of us do different work for God. Okay, so each of us has, we give a different gift to God. We might think that we're the givers of the gift. And that's kind of the universal view of religion, isn't it? You bring the chicken, you behead the chicken, you give the chicken to God. You're the giver. And plenty of Christians think in those terms. I give up my Sunday mornings. I give up my money. Oh, Alan's asking me to give up my holidays. The guy at the front will tell me what I have to give up to make God happy with me. Now, at least everyone can fit in heaven. But some ways of life, some things that we worship, are competitive. So if you want to have a house in Sydney, then it's not enough that you give up your wages to pay off a mortgage for the best years of your life, but you have to get your spouse to do that too, because you're competing against other double income households. So how hard do I have to work to get ahead in the church? Are we talking minimum benchmark standards, or are we talking competition? Or what kind of abilities are the ones that I really should be pursuing? What should I be trying to get? But that isn't what Paul is saying here, is it? Cast your eye down to the next verse, verse 7. It says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, he says in verse 11. And he gives them to each one. He gives them, just as he determines. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts. And of course that makes verse 6 make much more sense. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works. The same God works all of them in all men. So when you and I are working to serve the Lord Jesus, it's God who is at work in us for that to happen. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works. And this upends our whole idea of what's going on in our work at church. See, we like to think that, well, I'm giving my time, I'm giving my money, I'm giving. But no, actually, God is giving. We're not working in a Godward way, trying to get his attention with our fantastic hard work, or trying to earn our way into his affections. Because the gospel says that Jesus Christ has already done everything necessary for us to be adopted into God's family. We don't need to try and get God's attention. God has lavished his attention on us. He wants to be our loving heavenly Father. And so we serve Jesus because God has set his attention and his love on us. And that frees us up to do good to others with God. For him, because of course we're serving the Lord, but also for the other person. So not just for God, and not just to earn points for me either. So we do good because we want to do good to the other person, not because we want to earn some points for ourselves. Because the Holy Spirit gives the gifts. Can you see how God treating us with undeserved generosity sets us free to serve other people? The Holy Spirit gives the gifts. The good things we do, the abilities that we have, the things that we are able at, are the Spirit's gift to each of us, so that we can do good for God to others. Your abilities are God's gift to you for the sake of the other people that you're going to serve with them. Now, Paul knew that his brothers and sisters lived in a competitive culture in Corinth, a culture of showing off, a culture of comparing yourself to others, a culture of envy. And that's not that far away from our own culture, is it? My cousin hates that reality TV turns everything into performance art. If you're good at cooking, well, come on MasterChef and see if you're the absolute best at cooking. Don't just make a soup. No. You've got to cook carrot in 5 different ways and wow the judges. Do you have a nice car? Well, you should drive that nice car around. Can you afford nice clothes? You should really bling up. Can you renovate your home? Well, Is it a nice renovation? Is it better than the renovation next door? The Holy Spirit gives us gifts. Do I have a nice car? Well, that's a gift from the Holy Spirit. And I should use that car to serve Jesus. Can I afford nice clothes? Well, there's all kinds of ways that we can serve God in the way we wear our clothes. Am I paying a fair price to the people who made the clothes? Am I buying clothes that are kind to the environment? Or am I buying rubbish polyester stuff that I will throw away the next day and just add to landfill? When I'm wearing my clothes and I think, you know, those other clothes in my wardrobe, they are so last season. They're still okay to wear, but I'm not going to wear them anymore. Do I bring them in and give them to Anglicare so that other people can be clothed? I should use my cleverness to help other people understand. If I've got a great singing voice, I should sing, not so that everyone goes, wow, what a great singing voice they've got, but so that other people are inspired and uplifted and encouraged to sing as well. I should cook a great morning tea, not so that people go, wow, what an amazing morning tea that person cooked, but so that people are filled with a little bit more joy and go home feeling a little bit more positive about serving Jesus this week with the people who they ate with and thinking, hey, won't it be great when we have the banquet in heaven? Not because we have to be the best in the church, but because God is already happy with us and we get to do stuff with him and he's happy when we use our gifts. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts. And he gives us gifts for the common good. Not because there's one common good, that doesn't mean that there's only one way to do things. Now, the Holy Spirit gives us different gifts, different ways to serve. The same Spirit gives different gifts. And that's the point of the body analogy that Paul uses here. He uses it here. He says it in Romans 12. He says it in Ephesians chapter 4. He liked this image. The whole point of a body is that bodies only work if they have different parts. Have a look at verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. The Holy Spirit makes us a body. He's the Spirit. He's the person who makes personal relationships happen. He's the person who brings dead things to life. And so he takes all these bits of a body and he puts them together to make a living thing, all bound together by personal relationships. He takes each of us and knits us into the body of Christ. Now the point, again, of the body metaphor is that we need the different parts. Nothing in your body can metabolize sugar except for the insulin that your pancreas makes. Now your pancreas is pretty useless otherwise. It can't lift weights. It can't breathe. It can't think. It doesn't see or hear. The pancreas can't even heal itself. But boy, do you need insulin. Your heart can't put insulin into your blood. Your heart can't put oxygen into your blood. It's got to pump your blood off to the lungs to do that. It can't put nutrients into your blood, so it pumps your blood down to your stomach to do that, to your intestines to do that. Your heart can't clean your blood, so it pumps your blood down to your liver and your kidneys. You have all these different organs, each doing one or two or 20 different tasks, but none of them can do the tasks of the other. You've got dozens of bones. You've got muscles all over the place that are all doing specific tasks. You've got hundreds of different cell types and millions of cells, and all of them go together to make one body because they are all different. And Paul says that's what the church is like. That's what the church is like. The church is a body. It's got one body and many parts. One body that needs the variety and the diversity. Because the Corinthians, they were eagerly trying to get the most spectacular gifts. They didn't look at it like a body. They just sort of saw a whole array of different bits. And they kind of went, yeah, no, you don't want to be a foot. No, you want to be an arm. Or even better, you want to be an ear or a nose, perhaps an eye. You want to have the spectacular gifts. You want to be seen as the spiritual people. Not just the ordinary people in the church, but the really spiritual ones. That's probably what Paul is saying in verse 1. The NIV translates it as, now concerning spiritual gifts. Gifts doesn't actually appear in the original. They've translated that, they've put that in there, but I think it's probably better to read that as about the spiritual people, about spiritual folks. And Paul is going to tell the Corinthians, although they want the greater gifts, although they want to get higher up in the hierarchy, actually all of the gifts are needed. And the gift that they really need, the greatest gift, is quite unspectacular but very necessary. It's the love that God gives us by the Holy Spirit. It's the love that means that the stomach will give nutrients to the legs and the legs will haul the brain around. That all of us need love, and that love is the spiritual gift that will remain when everything else passes away. But that's another sermon on another chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now, it's not always natural to be glad when someone does well or is good at something that we're not. It's just as likely that you'll think, well, how come Graham can play the piano so well? Well, how come Anne got all the looks and Alan looks like a hat full of armpits? I don't understand. How come Neil can operate the sound desk? Individually, we each need the Holy Spirit to give us love so that we can appreciate what else is going on, so that we can love that those things are being done by others. Because diversity in our body is not a threat. Your eyes can't gang up against your nose. And so the music team shouldn't be resenting the kids' church team and, oh yeah, we don't like them. Because there are churches where, because it's a natural human response to diversity, to think that, oh, they're a threat and us, we're okay, we tend to band together. And so you see churches where that group doesn't talk to those people. Oh, they're left of the aisle people. We don't talk to them on the right of the aisle. No. Everyone's angry at the bush dance organisers because there's hay on the floor. Or possibly more likely to happen, everyone's angry at the youth surge organisers because there's marshmallow powder on the floor. But we won't talk about that now. Look, on Friday night, I was trying to get a MacBook to work with our projector system. Silly. I was trying to get it to work. The band were up here doing sound checks. They were really noisy. They were very loud, which tells you everything you need to know about me. And I was just starting to hate them and hate the guy who brought the MacBook in the first place. And it's the whole, and we've got youth coming in another hour's time. And this tells you I'm a grumpy old man. It also tells you that I need to build a bridge and get over that. Because in order for 90 kids to come here and have a great time and be inspired to follow Jesus, we needed the music, we needed the projection, we needed the sound to work. We all needed to be working together in love, encouraging one another to serve God and to serve the people around us, to do good. If the whole body was an ear, what would do the seeing? If the whole body was a foot, then what would smell? Yeah, thank you. Diversity in our body isn't a threat. It's not a threat that we have Chinese speakers or Indonesian speakers or Tamil speakers in our church. In fact, it makes our church more effective. It means that when someone comes through the door, we can digest is the wrong metaphor, but we can digest them. We can bring them into our body. And it actually makes those of us who can't speak those languages better able to welcome Swahili speakers who come through the door, because actually we're starting to get some practice in loving people whose own first language might not be English. It's not a problem that we have women and men and that the women have to put up with the men and possibly vice versa. Our diversity is a sign of strength and health if we welcome the diversity that God gives us. If we say, actually, yeah, there are different parts, but we're the same body. There are different gifts, but it's the same spirit. So, how am I supposed to think about my abilities? Well, they're the gift of God, aren't they? To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Now, what that means is that you are God's gift to other people, and other people are God's gift to you. Your abilities are God's gift to you for the person next to you, and their abilities Equally, the person next to you is God's gift to you. So I'm a human being and I'm made in the image of God and I'm saved by God's actions that I don't deserve through trusting in Jesus. And I've got the Holy Spirit in me giving me stuff that I can do so that I can serve the body, which includes you. And each one of you, it's true to say that you are a human being made in the image of God. And so if you've been saved by God's actions that you don't deserve through trusting in Jesus, then you've got the Holy Spirit in you, giving you abilities that you can use to serve me and all the other people in the room. Because once that connection is established, it goes both ways, doesn't it? To each of us, the Spirit is made obvious in us. He manifests in us for the common good and in the way that he chooses. Now, what difference does that make to how you treat other Christians? Well, first, remember that your gifts are for them. If you think of your gifts as, well, they're my assets, they're for my benefit, I'm going to use them to build myself up, then you're not serving and building up and loving other people. That's not why the Holy Spirit gave us gifts. The Holy Spirit chose to give you your gifts, and he wants you to use them for the benefit of other people around you. Secondly, if my gifts are for other people, then I need to actually use my gifts. I need to think through, well, what can I do? Because that's the other way that we misuse our gifts, isn't it? We think, I just won't use them at all. I'll just sit over here and mind my own business. Or possibly, look, I don't want to look a fool. That other person can do it better, so I'll let them do it. Look, they might have five other things to do, but they can do the thing I can do much better than I can, so I'll just let them do it. Or maybe, look, my gift is about singing songs for grown-ups. I'm not going to sing the kids' song. No. Or any number of other reasons. I'm not saying anyone is thinking those exact things. How does God want to use you? How does God want you to use your gifts that he's given you here at church? What good is God putting in front of you today, this week? How are you going to serve? Now, there might be people in our church who are truly doing nothing and not taking their part and not bringing themselves. So there might be bludgers, but there are also judges. There are people who go, yeah, look, I'm really not sure that they look at other people and they think, I can't see the point of those people being here at all. Look around the room. All around this room are God's people, saved by grace. Not because of anything we could do, not because we could achieve things, not because God thought, oh, well, Kevin will be useful. I think I'll bring him into the kingdom. No, God brought Kevin into the kingdom to make him useful. All of us belong here. We don't earn our belonging here. We just get to belong. And knowing that all of us are given to each other makes us, should make us, less judgmental of each other. And finally, it cuts down on envy. If there's someone at the church here who is better than you at something, that doesn't make them better than you. It actually makes them really useful to you. It means that God wants them to serve, including serving you. And so we can be happy. We can go, look, someone can sing better than me. Wonderful. Someone can fix a car better than me. Actually, most people could fix a car better than me. Someone can add up a column of numbers better than me. Wonderful. That's going to do me good. Instead of saying, oh, God, come on, why don't I have that gift? We can say, God, thank you that that gift is being used to serve me. You are God's gift to the people around you, and the people around you are God's gift to you. And you need them, and they need you. Now, my eldest daughter is 13, which means I've got 13 years of practice of telling people what to do when they get a gift. In fact, morning tea after the 8 o'clock service, one of my daughters did something, and then I said to her, what do you say? Thank you. Say thank you when you've got a gift. If you've got gifts, you need to say thank you. If other people are using their gifts so that they are God's gift to you, you need to say thank you. We can be thankful to the Holy Spirit who gives good gifts as he determines. Even if we don't have the gift that we really want, even if someone else has got it, we can say, thank you, God. We can be thankful as we serve. We can be thankful as we are served. We can say thank you instead of envying. We can say thank you instead of judging. We can say thank you and not bludge. We can say thank you and not show off. Be thankful for the same Spirit that gives us all different gifts. Whether Julianne makes some soup for her neighbours, whether someone gives some money so that someone else can afford groceries, whether someone comes to 10 o'clock. I know a lady at 6 p.m. last week said, oh, look, I'd be willing to come to 10 o'clock to serve in the creche so that 10 o'clock parents can focus better when they're in here worshipping together. We've got people at 6 o'clock who've taken up the drums so that we've got one more musician. And so we can say thank you because the same God is working in all of those different areas. All of those good things are being done by God working in each of us. So we can say thank you. We can be thankful that we are saved so that we can join in with the good things that God wants to do. We can be thankful when the good things that we're trying to do work. And when they don't work, we can still be thankful. Be thankful that the Holy Spirit gives good gifts to us.